Good morning, ladies and gentlemen and Transformers, and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. And, you know, HD had to just eat through my time, but they were sharing, he had professionals in the studio that were giving all wonderful health advice, so I didn't want to interrupt that. So I just decided, you know what, I will bring you the how the whole Range Rover, Range Rover state versus the Range Rover oil 1NA bail hearing ended today. And I don't know if I should say ended because, it's just now if you blinked, you missed the whole thing because that's how short it was. And I just had to, catch up quickly because, fast, quickly, I'll just give you more of a repeat of what transpired, and then we can just go through it together before I take you to India, where one gentleman is now facing prosecution for running a fake embassy. Now, that is my man. We'll walk, I'll just take you through that in a few until, I'll just take you through that in a few. Un momento, si vous plaît. For those of you that missed the bail, don't worry. I got you covered. In the name of accused who? Let's just cut to the chase for what I'm here for, this and this and that. Let's just go straight to the state because it's they're the only one that made the longest sentence. Sentences, and then everyone was bye-bye.
Third applicant, Lydia Elindi. Your Worship, after I have...
Please, Your Worship, I, together with Mr. Kazandana, appear for accused 5, 6, 7, and 10. We are ready to proceed.
Your Worship, before we proceed, there is just something we would like to place on record. This relates to third applicant, Lydia Elindi. Your Worship, after having carefully looking at the evidence available, we have discussed with counsel for the accused, for the applicant, and also we have reconsidered our position with regard to the bail, and we have since then decided that bail in the amount of 30,000 be granted to the third applicant, Lydia Elindi. But however, that does not mean there is no case against the accused, but this is just the fact that this is an ongoing investigation that still has to be carried out. So our reconsideration of bail should not mean that there is no case against the third applicant. Yes, Your Worship, the amount of 30,000 bail to be granted to the third applicant, Lydia Elindi, with the following conditions. Firstly, that she reports every Tuesday and Friday between the hours of 8 o'clock in the morning and 1700 hours in the afternoon at the offices of the Anti-Corruption Commission to the investigating officer in Nambao. Secondly, that she surrenders her passport or any other traveling document to the Anti-Corruption Commission, specifically the investigating officer in Nambao. Thirdly, that the applicant should not leave the district of Windhoek without informing the investigating officer in Nambao, as we have already stated. Fourthly, that the applicant Lydia Elini must surrender her firearm to the investigating officer, in this case, Mr. Inamba.
What firearm?
It's a handgun, a pistol.
Yes. If the order, in the event that the order is granted, to avoid ambiguity, the order must be specific.
It's a pistol, Your Worship. We just don't know the serial number, but perhaps Mr. Gaib will assist in this aspect because we are just informed it's a handgun, a pistol in this regard.
I'm just asking.
Yes,
Your Worship. If maybe she has more than one firearm. I'm just asking.
Yes, I understand, Your Worship.
Yes, because if, for example, it relates, even if, just as an example,
yes,
a vehicle. Maybe she has two vehicles.
Yes.
So, which one? That's why I'm saying.
In fact, with hindsight, Your Worship, I think we're indebted to the court. If she has more than one, she must just surrender all. Yes.
That's why I'm asking that.
Yes.
It appears the condition is too broad.
Yes, I understand, Your Worship. I understand. She must surrender all her firearms to the investigating officer, Mr. Inamba. And lastly, she must not interfere with any of the state witnesses or the ongoing investigations that are being carried out by the Anti-Corruption Commission. And then for the applicant to return to court on 25 August when this matter appears again. Mr. Court, please.
Just before you just for clarity.
Yes.
I just want you to assist because I'm just asking for clarity.
Yes.
Because the application has proceeded.
Yes.
We are in the middle of the application.
Yes.
The state is making that application. In other words, the state no longer objects.
Yes.
I am asking this in light of the concept of abandonment of bail application.
Yes.
Before Mr. Gaib, you come in, I want him to address me on that issue.
Your Worship, from the onset, although the third applicant, she's called the applicant, the bail application was brought about as a result of us objecting to the bail. But since at this stage we are not opposing bail anymore, I think then the concept of abandonment then applies because we no longer object now. Mr. Court, please.
Mr.
Gaia. Yes, court, please, Your Worship. Before I address the court on the submissions of the state, may I perhaps just request 30 seconds to approach the third applicant in respect of the description of the firearm?
You can proceed.
Yes, court, please, Your Worship. I'm indebted to the court, Your Worship. Your Worship, I'll first approach the submissions of my colleague from the last question posted by the court in respect of the abandonment of the bail application, Your Worship. Given that the state lifts their objection in respect of applicant 3, that will effectively mean then that applicant number 3 abandons her bail application on the basis of the agreement and consideration between the defense team and the state as far as applicant number 3 is concerned, Your Worship. Your Worship, the bail conditions as placed by my colleague on record as well as the bail amount of 30,000 are in order as discussed between the two parties. As far as the firearms are concerned, Your Worship, it is indeed correct that the accused or applicant number 3 is in possession of 2 firearms. The first one is a pistol with the name Zik Zawa. That is Z-I-G-Z-A-W-A. And the second firearm is a shotgun, which is at applicant number 3's residence in the northern region. Applicant number 3 has no objection to handing over those 2 firearms to the investigating officer, Your Worship. So we will pray that then an order in respect of applicant number 3 be made to that effect. Applicant number 3 will as well return to this court on the next appearance date, which is 25 August of this year, Your Worship, as the court pleases. The apologies, my colleague is reminding me. The passport of applicant number 3 will also be handed over to the investigating officer by myself, as it is in my possession. However, I have left it at the office, but we will hand it over today, Your Worship. As court pleases.
The matter will then just briefly stand up. The court briefly answered.
Right.
The matter will then just briefly stand up. The court briefly answered.
Right.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipuranenge no wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome. If you just tuned in, this is Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM, and I'm here until the hour of 11, and we have... we all heard that. At least, after, okay, from the look of things, the state just decided to go, on second thought, we have a reason to believe, accused number three, that is, applicant, it's a bail application, so they're applicants. We will get to accused when it's a main trial. That's the technicality now. I swear. It's a bail application, so they're all applicants. Oh dear. Moving on. I swear. You see, this is the problem. Applicant number three. Yeah, same WhatsApp group. Applicant number three, seemed to have been granted bail of $30,000 with a bunch of conditions that were, with a bunch of conditions that were just appointed out by the state. And, you can't go to the north for now. And now I have one question though. The pistol's name is Zig Zawa. It's either I have ears problem or I think they made a zigzag. Of which, there better be a pistol there, out there that's called Zig Zawa. Because if there is a pistol, if what she has is a zigzag, I have so many questions. Just how savage is she? Because, in one of the combat games I play, we have a C-78 zigzag. Yeah. It's for, that weapon is usually reserved for gamers who were born in houses where they were not loved properly. And they grew up with a lot of anger and now they have to use that anger by using, RPGs to shoot other players. Now, this is one thing that, people, only people that play video games understand, is that the type of gun that a player uses, it tells you a lot about their childhood. Like, for example, why are you using an RPG in close quarters? And also, much respect to Lydia Lindy. Shotgun? A shotgun? Are you kidding? Look, when they said she has a gun, I expected, something, I don't know, civilian, like a 9mm, but a shotgun. Yo, okay. Dear thieves, I would stay clear of her house if I were you. Because if you're not familiar what a shotgun is capable of doing, it's, depending on how close you are, that thing is gonna drill a hole through you, depending, of course, on the gauge. But the moment I hear shotgun, I'm running for my life. Literally. So, and also I learned something new. Whatever for shotgun that, what is that? And, a civilian can have a shotgun? Nice. Maybe there are, shotguns that are reserved for civilians. It's either that or I have, when it comes to, just on the guns alone, I have so many questions. Zig Zawa, never heard of that. Zig Zag, on the other hand, heard of that. I've used it several times. Don't judge me. And now. Oh dear. Now, if she has a zigzag, and a shotgun, I would stay, if I was a thief now, I would stay very far from her. Like, really far. Like, really far. Because, all the guns she seemed to own just seems to indicate that, if you find yourself standing on the wrong side of any of those guns, I really want to say, use the Gen Z language of you cooked, blah, blah, blah. No, you're dead. You're welcome. Now, putting all that, you know, this scary gun collections, conditions are surrendered travel documents to ACC investigating officers, report to the ACC every Tuesday and Friday, 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning and 1700 in the afternoon. For those of you that are not, you know, having a lot of military lingo fantasy, 1700, that's 5 o'clock. And surrender all her firearms, you know, the scary collection that she has, and the lawyer seemed to point out that the shotgun is in the north, so at least we know which gun is where. If you are in the north and you are planning on breaking in the Lindy house, you better hope that whoever is protecting that house doesn't know how to fire that shotgun, because, well, it's a shotgun. And oh dear. Okay, boy. And obviously she has to surrender them. So as you can imagine, the police have already showed up. We are looking for this gun. Yeah. Well, the security level is dropping at this point. So, but I wouldn't take my chances. Now, should not leave the district of Windhoek without informing the investigating officers and the applicant. The applicant also to return to, to return to court on the 25th of August, when this whole discussion resumes. Now, this is where I'm a little confused, because the judge finished, concluded by saying, okay, commercial break. Mind the gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. We shall continue on the other side.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities, and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Anaria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. Where was I? The exact words the judge used at the end of that audio that you just heard was as you just heard it, if you did not hear it properly, the judge said the court will briefly what's that now? The court will briefly adjourn. Yeah, but the matter will have to be briefly, will have to briefly stand down, and the court will briefly adjourn. And that stand down language is the language that we heard yesterday after that very interesting, professional boxing match, with words. And it took them, basically forever to come back. And it took them forever to come back. And even when they did, we saw some interesting development. One of which is the reconsideration of the state, abandoning, especially with respect to the, with respect to accused number three, setting aside their initial decision of, opposing bail for the accused number three, that is applicant number three. That's what I mean for those of you that want to go technical. Applicant number three, Miss Lydia Elindi. Now, that is something that is known as the concept of abandonment of bail application. That, like we just heard the judge pointed out. And that's when the opposing party of the bail goes, change of plans. if these conditions are met, then Miss will just let her go. I mean, well, there's no point in for holding on to this. But now, one of the conditions is for the applicant to return to court when the court resumes on the 21st of August, even though the word resume was not used in that case. Now, for this, I'm assuming this, they were referring to the beginning of the main trial. Because if she's given bail and she's coming back to court, the state also pointed out that the granting of bail does not mean that the applicant is not under investigation and is not implicated in all the charges that they stand accused. 21 minutes past the hour of 21 minutes past the hour of 10. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. And putting all that aside, I would like to come back to me now. By me, I mean the part where I'm just not serious. So, for those of you that are out of ideas, and you want to start your own business, you have to think outside the box. One gentleman in India a few days ago took that to a whole new level. When actually, I think it's unclear for how long he's been operating at that fake embassy. But homeboy had been operating a fake embassy for a while. That by the time that the Indian authority found him, he had made a lot of duplications of a lot of fake documents, including car license plates. According to him, one of the country that he was representing in that fake embassy was a country called West Arctica. And believe me, he had a fleet of cars with license plates from a country called West Arctica. What the heck? Why does that weirdly sound like Antarctica? Now, What money can someone get out of that? Oh, it's simple. According to him, he was just, going around, telling people, there are job opportunities in the country that I'm here to represent, that country of West Africa. And Indians, you are beating Nigerians on this because this is scamming on a diplomatic level. Actually, scamming on a diplomatic level is politics. But anyway, this is second only to politics when it comes to scamming on a diplomatic level. I can't believe I only, got them or, took them off the leash on that one. But this is that diplomatic level scamming is second only to politics. West Arctica, you have got to be kidding me. You know what's the sad thing? In the world of internet, people actually fell for that. There are people out there on this planet with voter's cards and most likely driver's licenses who believe there's a country out there called West Arctica. And it needs an... You have... My fear is if someone did that in Namibia, a lot of people would actually fall for it. That there's a country called West Arctica. West. You know what? Don't book a judge by the book, but anyway. I don't know how it ended up, but I think someone with Google decided to Google, decided to Google the heck out of it and find out, man, I can't find this country on the map. From which country do you say you're from again? And I don't know how he managed to lease this building, because it's a very fancy building that he managed to lease so that he can use it as an embassy. Now, I do not know how he managed to fool the person that was, that owned this building. You have to understand the type of paperwork you will have to go through for you to pull that off. The fact that he went to the level of operating. Man, that guy is a genius. Fake embassy. I mean, I've heard of fake relationships and fake everything, but fake embassy. Yo, India, Nigeria, you have just lost your position of number one scammers. Indians, bravo, you got it. And by the way, the guy is in his 40s. So before you start saying, hey, born free, yeah, Gen Z, no, he's in his 40s. Actually, he's in his 40s. Does that make him a millennial? Not as millennial, but actually that's a more of a Western concept. I don't even care. Let's look at something interesting that I actually, I at least only found out, I only found out yesterday. For those of us that like fizzy drinks, any type of drink that is gassy, not that type of exit human gassy, you dirty minded freak. The whole different type, fizzy drinks, the ones that make the sound shh when you open it. Believe me, back then it was a social status. Back then when people opened their drink and it made shh, they really thought they made it in life. Did they found out that they actually, they were still broke. But anyway. You know how Ivory Coast and Ghana supply over 50% of the cocoa industry? Actually, wherever you find yourself in the world eating chocolate, chances are very high that chocolate is having cocoa from either Ivory Coast or Ghana. They produce a lot of it. Ghana and Ivory Coast basically feed the global chocolate industry. But of the five major chocolate makers on the planet, including Mars and Nestle, none of them are on the African continent. They are operating on the African continent. But the question then is, why do we have so much raw material, but we don't process this raw material into finished products? Now, for those of you that remember the former Ghanaian president, Nana Akufo-Addo, back in 2021, he was in Switzerland. And he said, he had this one of those diplomatic garbage type of sitting with the, with the Swiss officials, obviously. And, on their deliberations, one of the points that he made was that we as Ghana, and I'm paraphrasing here, we would like to export less cocoa so that we can process our own cocoa into finished products. Oh, the Swiss government was not happy. They were not happy. As you'd expect, they were not happy. Why? It's because the Swiss government represents the interest of Swiss entities. Now, that means, how do I put this? Swiss politicians most likely got to the office by being, by being benefactored. I just made up that word. By being benefactored by, Swiss private entities. And believe me, in that country, everyone is loaded. And, now, they were not happy. Now, as we speak, something interesting is going on in Sudan. It turns out, Sudan produces, 80% of, 80% of a product known as gum arabic, which is one of the primary ingredients in Coke, Pepsi, and Nestle products. Now, the reason why I'm, mentioning all this, these three companies is because their names have come up a lot, especially, as it relates to what's going on in South Sudan. It's been alleged, there have been accusations made in the directions of the UAE, Coca-Cola, Nestle, and Pepsi, that, that these three entities could be funding, or more like backing up secretly, secretly the rapid support forces through the UAE to oppose the legitimate Sudanese government. Because the first thing the rapid support force, the first thing the rapid support force did when they broke away from the main government back in 2023 was take over the part of Sudan. That contains the product. And now they are being sold. Nice. And now they are being sold through, neighboring, basically black market type of sales going on there. Now, of course, these accusations have been, these accusations have been denied by, pretty much every entity that has been, who has been fingered. Like, they use that word a lot in the media, which gets me, the comedian, now to start laughing because of my dirty mind. Now, anyway, so here's the thing. Gum arabic is Sudan's gold. And it produces 80% of it. That means if whoever controls that market literally controls the global fizzy drinks industry. Yo, not just fizzy drinks, by the way. A lot of sugary products need that. Yeah, seems like the court has resumed from its, stand down. Disappeared again. Moving on. So according to an article by Reuters, and this is for March 2025, gum arabic, a vital ingredient used in used in everything from Coca-Cola, to M&M sweets. Now these are American American candy type sweets, is increasingly being trafficked from a rebel held area of war torn Sudan. Traders and industry sources, say, complicating Western companies' efforts to insulate their supply chain from the conflict. This is the same issue that the electronic industry is having with regards to the cobalt being smuggled out of the DRC. The question is now, and you see that a lot of tech giants have been accused of, of secretly backing the armed militias operating in this, in the parts of DRC that's rich in these natural resources, so that they can, in the middle of war, everything is fair game. You can buy everything at a fraction of the price in the middle of a war zone. All you just have to do is start a conflict, and then you can pillage the natural resources to your advantage. Under one condition. Just be nice to the evil genius that's, that's on the ground. If you can give them their money, they can cause all types of chaos, and you can go in and get the resources for free. Now, those accusations have been made with regards to the cobalt and all types of rare earth metals coming out of DRC. And those accusations were directed towards, more often directed towards the tech giants like Apple. And Tesla also, throw them in that bucket. But here's the thing. Fizzy drinks, sugary products, giants like Pepsi, Nestle, and Coca-Cola has also been accused of doing somewhat the exact same thing, except not in DRC, because, well, no one uses cobalt in fizzy drinks. What's one of the primary ingredients in fizzy drinks? Gum arabic. So, in other words, if you were a giant multinational corporation, you would want to do that. Now, what is gum arabic? This you are going to find very fascinating. Now, if you are from Kavango, I can easily just explain this. Mungo Ngwera, that's exactly what, that's it. Now, for those of you that don't have Kavango friends, don't worry, in because one Namibia, one nation, I got you covered. There are these types of trees called acacia. We call it Wuthu in my language, but now you get yourself a translator. There's this, chewing gum, not really chewing gum, chewing gumish, candy-ish type of, type of jelly that, that you find on some of the trees, that, jelly-like things that, that you find on some of the trees. And some of them are edible. Anyone that have gone looking after cattle have eaten these things. And they are very delicious. It turns out they are needed. Not wanted, they are needed for the, without it, the fizzy drinks industry would most likely collapse. I know. Oh, hang on a second.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ikurane ngeno wapongwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatimwe mbali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Now, where were we? Welcome. Now, for those of us that like to say, you know, you don't like to eat traditional, you know, food. Listen to me. Let me just explain to you just how dumb you are. Well, everything that is synthetic is coming from traditional, aka natural products. Only with a few synthetic, products that are poisonous to your liver and pretty much, want to kill you in every direction. Now, Sudan
How come we have never thought of this? Because last time I checked, we have acacia trees. And we want to go green. And acacia trees, once you grow them, they're gonna outlive you. So, I think this is where the Africa Continental Free Trade Area now must come in handy. We should really learn to exchange this knowledge. Now the Mungongwara thing that I was talking about. For those of you with Vambo friends, according to Juju, don't kill me on this one if I get it wrong. It's called Omaka. Hang on a second. Yeah. Now, that it turns out is a major ingredient in your Coca-Cola, that your Omaka, that your Mungongwera, is a major ingredient in fizzy drinks. It's needed, not wanted, needed. See your life with your nonsense of, I am allergic to this, I can't do that, and this and that. You idiot, it's the same product that you have been drinking in your bottle, you educated moron.
Hey, thank heavens. The live stream is giving me is slowly giving me my show back. So, back in 2023, that's as far back as these stories. Actually, these stories goes way back. The Cameroonian businessman, a very controversial and lawyer all at the same time, Mr. Ayuk, is one of those people that found out the hard way back in 2015 that the war in Sudan was fired up by entities are trying to get to different natural resources that's available in the region. I just had no idea. I know Sudan has a lot of gold. I didn't know this was one of them. Omaka and Mungongwara. Seriously? The court has resumed.
Accused number 7, brought by the respondent. Now, the law provides as follows with regard to abandonment of birth. In the case of Ace versus Moore State, CR 141 of 2023, High Court of Namibia, Main Division, delivered on 4 December 2023, it was stated as follows in paragraph 20. It seems to be wrong in principle that the accused, having initiated proceedings and put his opponents to inconvenience, trouble and expense, should at his whim have the right to abandon the action at any time before the hearing is finalized. We are alive to the fact that that is not ordinarily, excuse me, I'll take it again. We are alive to the fact that it is not ordinarily the function of this court to force a person to institute or proceed with an action against his or her will, or to investigate the reasons for abandoning or wishing to abandon one. An exception, though one difficult to visualize, would no doubt be where the withdrawal of an action amounts to an abuse of the court process. Where the court finds an attempt made to use for ulterior purposes machinery devised for the better administration of justice, it is the duty of the court to prevent such abuse. But it is the power to be exercised with great caution and only in clear case. Further, at paragraph 21, the court proceeded, we are of the view that although no ground for the action by the accused was placed on record, there is no evidence upon which we can conclude that the abandonment was done with an ulterior motive. In the circumstances, the court has no legal basis upon which, in the particular case, to review or order the district magistrate to continue with the bail application, as that would be amount to compelling a person to proceed.
Are you eligible to vote but not yet a registered voter? Your time is now. Electoral Commission of Namibia invites all qualified citizens to take part in the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. These include those who turned 18 years after the previous registration of voters, all eligible Namibian citizens who are not yet in possession of a valid voter's card, citizens who have changed residence from one constituency or local authority to a different constituency or local authority. Democracy is not a spectator sport, it's all about taking part. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook.
That the accused has communicated their intention to abandon an application. Now, in the present matter, it is not the third applicant or accused number 7 that had abandoned the application. It is the respondent that has lifted its objection on the application for accused. That is for accused 7, or that is the third applicant, effectively abandoning the application in respect of the third or the seventh accused. Therefore, this court is of the considered view, as the respondent submitted, that after careful consideration, they have reconsidered their position on the available evidence. Therefore, this court is of the considered view that there is no evidence that such a decision was done with ulterior motives, but in the interest of justice. For the foregoing reasons, the following is the order of the court. Accused number 7, bail is granted with conditions, bail in the amount of $50,000, with conditions that you must report on Tuesdays and Fridays between the hours of 8 to 1700 hours to the ACC, to the investigating officer, Mr. Inamba. Further accused 7, you must surrender all your travel documents to the investigating officer. Further accused 7 must not leave the district of Vendu without communicating or informing the said investigating office. Further accused 7, you are ordered to surrender all your firearms to the said investigating officer. Further accused, you are ordered not to interfere with investigations or witnesses in this matter. If you do, your bail will be cancelled and you will be kept in custody. The matter in respect of accused 7 is then postponed to 25 August 2025.
As the court pleases, my lord.
As the court pleases.
Your worship, just sought clarity in respect of the bail amount. Is it?
The bail amount is $50,000.
As the court pleases.
The order of the court.
As the court pleases, my lord.
The passport is to be handed in before or at the time when accused posts her bail amount. And the court will afford her at least. Today is Friday, that is, firearms must be delivered through the legal practitioner to the investigating office. Accused number 7, you may stand up. We can then proceed.
Mr. Court, this is, may I proceed, Your Worship?
You can proceed.
Yes. Now, Mr. Malunga, yesterday before we adjourned, I was just asking you with regard to the car. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember.
That is the car. Motor vehicle. Do you recall that?
Yes, I recall that, Your Worship.
Now, when you testified on, let me just get the date. When you testified on the 23rd of July, in fact, you had said you have no idea of this car. Is that correct? When you were asked by Mr. Bangamavo, your legal representative, you denied that you have no idea of this car.
No, Your Worship, I remember I denied ownership of this vehicle. My memory serves me well now. I never said that I had no idea about the car. I denied ownership.
All right, the record will speak for itself, but then, so you also said your relationship with Mr. Victor Simaneka Malima was just a business relationship. Do you recall that?
It's a business relationship, and obviously we got acquainted during the time that, you know, they were doing business with NAMCO.
So, what business was there if your relationship with Mr. Malima was a business relationship for you to take a car that is in his name for service? What business relationship was there?
I mean, he asked me because he was going out of town to help him to take his vehicle to the service and to go and take it back once it is done.
the investigating officer will come and testify that, in fact, you did not drive this car for 2 or 3 days, as you are saying. You drove it for a couple of months, more than 3 months, to be exact. What is your comment?
No, I mean, I didn't say I just drove it for 3 days. I drove it for a couple of days.
Okay, but then my question is, if the investigating officer will come and testify that you didn't drive it for days, in fact, you drove it for more than 3 months, what is your answer?
No, you can come and testify to that. But I know the facts.
Was this the first time when you took the car for service, as you were saying? Was it the first time that you have driven that
car? No, it was not the first time. In fact, I had driven the car, I think, when it arrived, I took it for a test drive. So it wasn't the first time.
And you can also confirm that it's an Audi RS Q8. Is it correct?
That's correct, Your Worship.
And I would like to take you to the bundle that was given to you to this court by Mr. Bangamavo, your lawyer.
Yes.
It's at page 185. Now, just before I proceed with regard to that document, are you aware? Yes, 185, Your Worship.
Yes,
before I proceed with regard to that document, let me ask you this. Mr. Mulunga, are you aware that Enercon took over the debts of Ecofuel?
Yes, I'm aware of that, Your Worship.
Okay, and are you also aware that the amount is about 70, let me just make sure, 73 million. Are you aware of that?
I'm aware of that, Your Worship.
And is it also correct that you are aware that Enercon also had a debt of 35 million towards NAMCO?
I believe so, Your Worship.
You can proceed.
Yes, and then that brings the total debt to 108 million. We agree? If we add these two amounts?
I don't think that is how it worked.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me take it step by step. Enercon took over Ecofuel, that we are in agreement.
Yeah, they took over the
debts. And in other words, they even took over their debts.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure whether at that time the debt that was owed by Enercon to NAMCO was 35 million at that particular stage when the debt was taken over. So I cannot confirm.
Okay. From the 53,212,000,
yes,
you can confirm that an amount of 35 million after it was paid to Enercon. Enercon then paid back 35 million to NAMCO.
That's correct, Your Worship.
Okay, then that's where the premise of my question is, that the 35 million that was paid back to NAMCO after the 53,212,000 was to settle the debt of 35 million. Do you get it?
Yes,
now?
Yes, I get
okay,
it.
Okay, now let's get to the fuel supply agreement.
Yes.
So on page 191 of that document, and of interest is clause 8.1.
8.1.
192, not 191. My apologies. I'll read it for you, or would you want to read it?
Which one?
8.1.
8.1. Yes, I can read it, Your Worship. All purchase orders issued by the buyer to the seller for products shall be accompanied by government purchase order of the same quantity and product. No product shall be released to the buyer in the absence of a government purchase order accompanying the buyer's purchase order to the seller.
Okay. Let me stop you there. Pardon me, Your Worship. It's supposed to be 6.1. I apologize. On 191. I apologize.
191.
Yes, 191. Mm-hmm. My apologies.
6.1.
Yes, 6.1.
The quantity of the products, all products ULP 95, Jet 1, lubricants, diesel, all inclusive, purchased by the buyer and supplied by the seller under this agreement shall be between 700,000 to 1 million liters per month, approved credit limit, with a total approved credit limit of 15 million Namibian dollars.
Okay, so with regard to the fuel supply agreement, you agree that the credit limit was pegged at 15 million Namibian dollars?
At that particular time, that's what the agreement says.
Yes, and then you agree with me that the amount then that was owed by that Enercon owed to Namco by the time the asset purchase agreement was signed was in excess of the 15 million. Do you agree?
No, I don't agree to that.
Okay. If you don't agree, why then did they pay 35 million if their credit limit was 15 million?
No, because the agreement says 35 million if there was any debt, and I cannot remember now exactly how much there was. That I cannot remember. That.
Okay, let me ask you this, Mr. Malunga. We have now established that Enercon took over the debts of Ecofuel, yes. We are in agreement.
Yes.
And then 35 million plus 73 is 108 million.
Yes.
And then I'm taking you to the credit limit to say, well, the credit limit was 15 million, but yet Enercon had a date of 108 million. Do you see that?
Your Worship, I mean, those details, I mean, I was not the one that works with those details. I mean, I'm sure one of the accused will be able to explain that. So I cannot, to be honest, tell you exactly the details of that, because yeah, my duty was really at the level of managing director, and you know, the other colleagues, subordinates, were the ones that dealt with this on a day-to-day basis. So I will not be able to give an authoritative answer to say it was exactly this or that, other than to say that yes, there was a 35 million that was paid back for the debt that Enercon owed, and I also know that yes, Enercon took over the debt of Ecofuels. I think as was agreed by the board.
And in fact, I'll put it to you that despite the credit limit of 15 million, Namco continued to supply fuel to Enercon above the credit limit, despite that they owed money, but fuel was still being supplied.
Yeah, again, Your Worship, I mean, those are the things that didn't happen at my level. As managing director at that time, I had people that worked and you know and made those decisions. Obviously, after I have signed off a credit limit,
and Yeah. Yes. And in fact, as we stand here, from the 108 million that was owed, only the 35 million was paid. Are you able to dispute that?
Well, there's the 73 million, Your Worship, as you correctly pointed out, was a debt that was ceded.
Yes.
By another. So it's not that Enercon really owed it. It was just ceded as because it was owed by another company. So I think that time, if that was not ceded, the 35 million would have probably been enough to bring Enercon's debt within the credit limit. That's my understanding.
But Mr. Mulunga is an experienced corporate leader. Wouldn't you find it prudent to inquire from Enercon that, look, you took over the debts, pay at least from part of the debts that you took over?
Oh, yes, we've definitely done that. And over several months. And we've, you know, brought these issues to the board. We've had very stringent demand letters that we've sent, not only to Enercon, but to all the companies that owed number. So I remember very well having done that at Exco level. So we've gone out of our way to, you know, request all these companies at Old Namco to pay up their debts.
Okay, but what do you know if the debt was eventually settled?
I don't believe the entire debt was settled. I mean, that's why I think we are here also.
All right. So, there was also a reference that was made to the findings by PwC, and by that I would like to refer you to page 248 of Mr. Bangamwabo's bundle.
248.
Yes, 248. And of interest is B, PwC investigation. Are you there?
I'm there, Your Worship.
Yes, and of interest, I'll read to you that at 6 it says, PwC investigated the following matters. A, unusual debtor accounts with significant outstanding balances, accounts that exceeded credit limits, and accounts with unusual payment arrangements. Do you see that?
I see that, Your Worship.
So, in fact, PwC also, when they investigated, they found out that the payment arrangements that existed between NAMCO and the debtors were actually not in a good way, if I can put it that. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, in their opinion, it says it's unusual payment arrangements. That's the opinion of PwC. However, these are the arrangements that were undertaken between NAMCOR and trading and distribution and Enercon at that stage.
And in fact, they also say that some accounts had exceeded credit limits. You see it there?
Yeah, that's correct.
And yet, NAMCO, led by you as the managing director, still kept supplying fuel to Enercon, which had exceeded its credit limits.
No, that's not correct. In fact, the credits were suspended at some point because the accounts were indeed over the credit limits.
And you see, on that aspect, the investigating officer will come and testify that, well, despite the credit limit having been exceeded, fuel was just being received for free, if I can put it that way, because it was never paid for, and up until now, it has never been paid for.
Your Worship, I think it's incorrect to say that the fuel was provided for free. The fuel was provided with expectations that it will be paid. No right-minded person would provide fuel to a company for free. So when Enercon and everybody else that owed NAMCO obviously was expected to pay back.
And I'd like to put it to you that, you see, you are the mastermind or the originator of this whole enterprise that you ensnared everyone into it. Have you taken due diligence as the managing director of NAMCO, all this would not have happened.
That is incorrect, Your Worship. We entered into business relations with Enercon and any other client in good faith, with understanding that we are going to provide fuel, and then we are going to get paid within the limits of time that are provided by those agreements. That is what we did. So if a client doesn't pay on time or decided not to pay, or they have difficulties in paying for whatever reason, that cannot be my mistake as managing director. I mean, that would be completely unfair to actually blame a non-payment of NAMCO debt on me specifically as managing director, because when you enter into an agreement, sales and purchasing, fuel supply agreement with somebody, and you have, you know, credit that you supply to somebody, you expect them to pay you. And if they don't pay you, I mean, surely you can't criminally charge somebody that at that level, managing director, for people that have not paid their account.
All right, so were you aware, firstly, that Enercon was not paying? Let me start there.
I was aware, yes, that Enercon was one of those debtors that were behind. So I was aware of it, and we had discussed this over several times at Exco meetings. It was discussed at credit committee level. It was discussed at finance and audit committee. It was discussed at board level. So we all knew, yes, we had these challenges.
All right. So if you are aware, what steps did you take to ensure that that does not continue happening?
Yes. Your Worship, we have written demand letters on several occasions. I think we've even attempted to call some of the directors or managers of these companies to, you know, urge them to pay. We have at some point actually stopped supplying them because of non-payments. As I said, we went on very stringent, obviously on the advice of the board, on serious debt recovery programs within the company. And we've tried our best to make sure that these companies pay up what they owe to NAMCO.
In fact, Mr. Mulunga, I'll put it to you that the commercial offer that you made on 8 July was just a tool that was used by you to get money out of NAMCO, which was eventually shared between you and your co-accused persons and Mr. Simaneka Malima.
That is...
Please go to Your Worship. I have an objection. Your Worship...
Can you just lower it down? Yes?
Your Worship, my colleague for the state, in his question, the way he phrased it, he says that the money which was paid to Enercon by NAMCO, of course, at the instigation of the applicant, accused number one. He says that money was then paid back to the accused persons, including...
Use the word shared.
Shared.
Yes.
Appreciate, Your Worship. As we stand here, Your Worship, there is no evidence, not a single evidence, no grain of evidence that applicant in the witness box
that he received any cent in his bank account. So the statement by my colleague, of course, with due respect, is incorrect. I think he has to use it selectively and keeping in mind that as we stand here, no evidence was adduced by the state. No document was referred to that he received the cent from anyone. Please go to your worship.
Any response?
No response, your worship. I'll leave the question as is. If he has a reply, he can state so. If not, we move forward.
Yeah, my response is that's totally not.
But Bishop, any objection has been raised. The court must respond on the objection and make a ruling.
We did not hear, this court did not hear that there was any money paid to the applicant himself. Yes. Therefore, the objection is sustained.
As the court pleases. As the court pleases. I'll leave the question for
us. We can then move on.
Yes. Now, Mr. Mulung, I would like to put it to you that you, sir, you did not run the National Petroleum Corporation properly with due diligence. That's why events like this of credit limits being exceeded, entering into asset purchase agreement without board approval, happen under your nose. In other words, you did not exercise due diligence. You ran the entity as you wished.
No, that is not correct, Your Worship. I denied it.
And in fact, even after you had been put on suspension, that's why NAMCO, through Mr. Shiwanande Onyema, actually cancelled that agreement because it was a bogus agreement that you had entered into with Enercon.
That's not correct.
I have another objection, Your Worship. Maybe the state, not really an objection, to be fair to the witness, Your Worship, because during the evidence in the chief, the witness, through documentary evidence, demonstrated that when he was suspended, I think towards March, April 2023, and the cancellation took place towards the end of 2023 by the acting managing director. So the reason why such cancellation took place, he placed on the record that he doesn't know what transpired. Unless my colleague tells you, put a version to the applicant, to the witness, that Mr. Shiwana will come and tell the court the reason for the cancellation. Please go to your worship.
Of course, please, Your Worship, just to add on that point, and I think it would, under the circumstances, be fair, because there's a letter of cancellation from Mr. Donyema. If my colleague can go to that letter and perhaps see whether in that letter the basis of the cancellation is identified as the agreement is a bogus agreement, Your Worship. Scott, please.
Any response?
We'll leave it for argument, Your Worship.
We can then move
yes.
on.
So, please, Mr. Mulunga, I would like to put it to you that the commercial offer that you made to Enercon was just an enabling instrument, if I can call it that.
Your Worship, the Sorry. Your Chef, the question was asked and answered. It's simply now just being rephrased to say enabling whatever, but initially it was posted as the tool that was used to get the money from NAMCO, Your Worship.
Any other
thoughts? Yeah. Maybe, Your Worship, just before I answer, I think just for the court decorum, I've seen this practice of Mr. Kasper rising when his client is not the one that is being asked. Firstly, Mr. Mulunga has Mr. Bangamabo as his lawyer. The client acts on the mandate and instructions, or the lawyer acts on the mandate and instructions of the client. And Mr. Bangamabo is here. It's different, Your Worship, when an accused is unrepresented, when the court can then assist an accused. I would submit, Your Worship, that a legal representative cannot just rise for the sake of disrupting proceedings. What Mr. Kasper is implying is that Mr. Bangamabo is not doing a due diligent job to his client. Your Worship, I will also say it will almost turn into a circus where any other lawyer is allowed to object on behalf of a client on which he doesn't have instruction. So I think with regard to the court decorum, that decorum must be followed. A court is not a circus where a lawyer just stands up, objects with regard to questions that were not put to his client. Perhaps Mr. Kasper can say maybe he has instructions from Mr. Mulunga, and that is what I'll submit with regard to that aspect. And with regard to my question, I was not even done asking, and then he objects. So what was he objecting to? I had not completed my question. That will be my reply, Your Worship.
Your Worship, with the greatest respect to my learned friend, this is below the belt. These are outlandish submissions my learned friend is making. Your Worship, first and foremost, I sat here as an officer of this court, and I have on previous occasions informed this court that I am duty-bound to not sit idly and allow an injustice to occur. Your Worship, you would recall just a little while ago, an objection was raised. The witness almost went ahead and answered that question, Your Worship. And when I rose and I told the court that, Your Worship, an objection has been raised, the court must rule on it. This court ruled, and it was ruled in favor of the objection raised, Your Worship. And that my learned friend must suggest that I'm imputing that Mr. Bangwambo is incompetent, because that's what he's saying, Your Worship. Then, Your Worship, that is where we are throwing the decorum of this court out of the door. And this is what an undertaking we made to this court, that we are not going to allow such behavior, Your Worship. I am no clown. I am not in a circus, Your Worship. And I am executing on my mandate. As you would recall, Your Worship, the state's theme, by the way, if my learned friend forgot, is that Mr. Mulunga used that tool to siphon money out of NAMCO, and that money was then shared amongst the accused persons, the co-employees at NAMCO. So I have every right, Your Worship, objecting and representing my client's interest in doing so, Your Worship. So God, please.
Yes, Mr. Kasper, you have the right to object. But if there is a witness, the court allows you, once you put it on record as an officer of court, I cannot allow the issue to be discussed without an objection because I'm an officer of court.
So I'm not sure I'm following
you. I'm saying that the court has allowed you.
Yes.
Because often when you start, you are indicating, as an officer of court, I cannot sit here and war yes. and injustice.
And,
it's
and
on that basis yes. that the court is allowing.
Indeed, and when I wrote before, again,
before
Worship.
I proceed,
yes.
Yes, so it's on that basis that the court is allowing you to proceed.
I see.
But if the counsel for the applicant is here and he can object on that aspect.
Absolutely, Worship.
Yeah.
And when yeah. I rose, Worship, I did so as an officer of this court, because what are we doing? Look when we started, Worship, and look where we are. If repetitive questions that have no relevance to moving forward is being asked, Worship, in the interest of curtailing these proceedings, I have to object, Worship.
Yes, I understand that one. However,
as the court pleases,
it appears that counsel for the respondent was not even finished with
then,
his
then,
question.
Then that's
yes.
fair, Worship. I
yes.
accept that, Worship. As the court pleases.
It's in order. Counsel, can you then finish your question?
So, my question was, so the asset purchase agreement was just
that the commercial offer
yes,
was just an enabling instrument. Maybe
yes,
yes.
Was just an enabling instrument for NAMCO to pay money to Enercon.
I flatly deny that, Your Worship. I have demonstrated, I think, during earlier testimony that commercial offer was birthed from a fuel supply agreement between Enercon and NAMCO Trading and Distribution. So it cannot be viewed in isolation. If it was just an agreement or offer that we plucked from the air and signed, maybe one could make that argument. But it was part and parcel of an agreement that we were supposed to execute further actions, because that fuel supply agreement between Enercon and NAMCO Trading and Distribution was incomplete without an asset purchase agreement, because you can't enter into an exclusive supply agreement with a customer without an investment into the assets. I think that is what I explained a few days earlier. So yeah, that is not correct.
Mm. So, Your Worship, of course, I hate to allow the witness to answer the question, but it seems that during the evidence in the chief, maybe my colleague was absent mind, because, Your Worship, you recall, the witness took the court into the whole process, the asset evaluation process, by the an expert committee of NAMCO, by an independent person, engineers from outside, recommendation by various experts.
Counsel, I understand, but the question has already been answered.
No, what I'm trying to read to Your Worship is we are repeating things which already has been answered. So if we can move forward to avoid being repetitive, Your Worship, that in essence was the essence of my objection. Please support Your Worship.
We can. Was it an objection, or you indicated from the onset it's not an objection?
Not an objection, just to make
to
sure
make
that
sure.
we don't
okay.
repeat things which are clear on the record.
Then we can.
You can suggest having made an undertaking to you, I think I should also just caution my learned friend with the statement he made about the colleague for the state being absent-minded. I think that is slightly harsh, Your Worship.
Counsel,
it's a withdrawing
motion. We maintain our decorum. Yes. It's in order. It's in order. Yes, Mr. Kaske, the court is in debt.
Yes, the court is.
Now, Mr. Mlunga, just to conclude, I would like to put it to you that had it not been for you as the mastermind or the architect of this whole scheme, these charges would not have been there in the first place. No one would have been charged here had it not been for you. In other words, you are the mastermind, you are the architect of this whole scheme.
Your Worship, I do not understand why I can be labeled as the architect or mastermind of this whole scheme, as I am not the one that as managing director of Namco Trading and Distribution, give orders downwards to say, this is what you guys must do. As a managing director, I'm not the one that initiate business transactions. Business transactions are initiated at departmental level. And I think it was proven through internal memorandums that were written to me, and even the fuel supply agreements, these things are done by the commercial departments. And then they go through various levels at NAMCOR and then come to me. So for me to be accused as the mastermind is totally, totally unfair, Your Worship.
And I also like to put it to you that in the execution of your duties as the managing director of NAMCO, you dismally failed to exercise due diligence to run NAMCO as a reputable institution. In fact, you ran it down the drain, sir.
That is not correct. Again, as I said earlier, when I came to NAMCOR in 2015, the revenue of NAMCOR was around 600 million. By the time that I left NAMCOR, the revenue of NAMCOR was 7.4 billion. So you cannot be somebody that sort of have a tenfold increase in a company's revenues and actually be regarded as somebody that drove the company down. There are various reasons why some of these things happen, especially the debts of NAMCO. By the time that I was there, the debts were being managed. All these companies were trading with NAMCO. Some of these companies were paying 30 million Namibian dollars per week to NAMCO. However, since I left, things deteriorated, you know, people stopped being supplied, people stopped paying. So
at my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
We granted bail because public funds had been squandered in the manner it was squandered, and therefore you should be kept in custody, sir.
Your Worship, those public funds were not squandered by me. I did not receive any cents from those public funds that you are mentioning, and I don't even know what are the public funds that you are referring to. I did not receive any cent. And if there are people that should be held liable or guilty for these funds, these are the people that have not paid their accounts to NAMCO, not me. And I am not the one that told them not to pay their accounts. So I totally disagree with that assertion.
I have no further questions, Your Worship.
Mr. Banga Mabo.
Please, Your Worship. Mr. Mulunga, in the examination, let's start with the last aspect by State Council.
he says it's in the interest of the public or in the public interest that you be kept in custody because the public funds have been squandered. Now,
Your Worship, it's not an objection, but just to complete the question, I say it in the administration of justice as well.
Please, what your worship is.
Counselor, are you finished? Or you can proceed.
I am proceeding now, Your Worship. Now, is it correct that the public funds, I'm not sure either it's public funds, the funds being referred to are the outstanding debts which are owed to NAMCO by various debtors, including Enercon, Ecofuel, or Erongo Petroleum. Correct?
Well, I'm not quite sure what he was referring to, Your Worship, but I assume that's probably what he is referring to. It's probably what is owed to NAMCO.
What is owed to NAMCO by the people who took fuel, by the companies which took fuel.
That's correct, Your Worship. So, I personally, Emmanuel Mulunga, standing here, did not squander any public funds or took any public funds from anybody.
Mr. Mulunga, we have seen various fuel supply agreements which you signed between NAMCO, Enercon, Erongo Petroleum. And we have referred to you or to the court what will happen, what happens when either of the parties to that contract fails or refuses to comply with the contractual obligation. You remember?
I remember, yes, sir.
So let's go to one of those fuel supply agreements. Let's go to page, Your Worship, 185. That is the fuel supply agreement between NAMCO Trading and the Enercon. Your Worship, from 185 to 210 of the bundle by the applicant. Are you there, Mr. Mulunga?
I'm there, Your Worship.
That is the agreement, Your Worship, dated 16 March 2022. Now, of course, you are being accused of giving free fuel or supplying fuel for free to some of the entities cited here. There's no evidence to that effect. But I want you to go to page, Your Worship, 200 of that document.
I'm there, Your Worship.
I want you to look at page 14. No, paragraph 14.
Yes.
Yes. Can you read it into the record?
Breach and remedies. An event of default shall mean any of the following.
Yes.
The failure of the buyer to make any payment under this agreement.
Yes.
The failure of the either party to perform its obligations in relation to delivery or collection of the products.
Okay.
The failure of either party to comply with its other obligations under this agreement.
Yes.
Any representation or warranty made by either party under this agreement, if proved to be untrue when made in any material respect.
Very good. Let's stay with the 14.1.1.
Counsel, it's re-examination. Where are you getting it?
Where am I getting it?
I'm saying, where are you going? It's re-examination. Why do you want to clarify that?
I want to clarify, Your Worship, because according to the state, is that Mr. Mulunga, as the ex-managing director of NAMCO, must be kept in custody
because of the debts of the contracting parties to the contract. I want to show to the court that the contract concluded between NAMCO and the Enercon provides otherwise. Please, the court, your worship. Now, Mr. Mulunga, go to page with regard to the remedies. Let's go, your worship, page paragraph 14.3. Can you read that into the record?
Yes, your worship. Should the buyer fail to make payment when due, any and all payments due from the buyer to the seller shall become immediately due and payable, and the seller shall.
Yes. 14.3.1.
Shall entitle to institute.
I have to object to that line of question, because
if your worship has a recollection in that, this part was already dealt with by Mr. Bangamavo in examination in chief. So I don't know what is unclear. I think that's a point he can argue, because this document is here. It was dealt with extensively by Mr. Bangamavo when he was examining in examination chief of the client. So if he has any point to carry forth from this document, it's something that he can argue, because I think the document is there. The court is aware of the document. Mr. Court, please.
Any response?
For the sake of progress, I will rephrase my question. Mr. Mulunga, if you look at this contract, especially the remedies applicable, is there any provision which speaks to the fact that if any of the fuel supplier or the person who received the fuel fails to pay, that the managing director of NAMCO must be arrested and kept in custody?
No, no, there's no such provision, Your Worship.
And then there is also an allegation that you failed to exercise corporate due diligence, which led to the whole scheme, the reason why we are here. My question is there any law in this country which provides for criminal prosecution, for arrest and criminal prosecution, for violating or breaching corporate governance?
No, no. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm not aware of such law. In fact, in the relationships between employee and employer, there are remedies for non-compliance of contracts, and that is disciplinary action.
And when you testified 2 days ago during evidence in chief, you confirmed to the court that all policies of NAMCO, including the credit limit policy and the schedule of authority policy, they form part and parcel of employment contract.
That's correct, Your Worship.
You also confirmed that if those policies are not complied with, then the disciplinary action must be taken by the employer, that is NAMCO.
Yeah, that is what the contract says that I signed with NAMCO, National Petroleum Corporation of Namibia.
Now, as far as you remember, NAMCO, as your former employer, or through the board of directors, have they brought you before any disciplinary committee to face the allegation which are before this court, especially in respect of asset purchase agreement of July 2022?
Well, they attempted to do so. In fact, they tried to join charges relating to this asset purchase agreement to an ongoing disciplinary matter I was facing. But obviously that was not accepted by the chairperson of the disciplinary committee at that stage. And when that was not accepted, NAMCOR went ahead and fired me unlawfully without actually going through a formal disciplinary process on these charges.
So you are telling the court that actually NAMCO fired you without allowing you to explain the allegation against you in respect of asset purchase agreement.
That's correct. Worship.
Again, I have to object because that is already suggestive of an answer. And these aspects were already dealt with in evidence in chief. So if he puts a position or a preposition to a witness and just says yes, what is that? He's just leading him instead of seeking clarity. He's just telling him the answer.
Counsel, it's re-examination. Can we proceed?
Can we proceed, Your Worship? I want to be short. I wanted to finish before one, but if my colleague keeps on standing up. Of course, it is right. He can keep on doing that. I can't stop him from exercising his right and representing his client.
Yes, he is within his right. So
please, Your Worship. Mr. Mulunga, you heard the state saying that the asset purchase agreement was an enabler.
Yes,
for the money which was paid to Enercon, which money then was shared among yourself as the applicant and the other co-accused. What is your answer to that?
No, that is not correct. I did not share in any money with any other accused. And again, the asset purchase agreement was not a document that was signed in isolation. It was signed because there was already an agreement that actually suggested that the next step was supposed to enter into an asset purchase agreement.
Did you receive any money, any gratification or reward from Peter Elindi, from Elindi Malakia, from, that is, on behalf of Enercon?
I did not, Your Worship.
On the issue of the motor vehicle, can you confirm to the court? You said you drove that car, that motor vehicle, the Audi Q8. Who is the owner of that car?
The owner of that car is Mr. Simaneka Victor Malima.
Victor Malima.
Yes.
Now, this Mr. Victor Malima, at the time the asset purchase agreement was being negotiated, and later on concluded. Do you remember? Do you still remember when it was signed?
Yes, I remember.
To assist I think it's common cause, it was, the last date was 18 July 2022.
That's correct, Your Worship.
Was Victor Malima part of the Enercon team which negotiated with you?
No, he was not, Your Worship.
To your recollection, was Victor Malima a shareholder or a director of Enercon at that time, July 2022?
No, not to my recollection. In fact, he was not a director of Enercon that I had dealt with. Oh.
Still on the motor vehicle. Just to assist the court, and of course the state, do you remember or would you recall when that motor vehicle was bought? I know you didn't buy it, but just if you remember, if you don't remember it.
Yeah, I believe that motor vehicle was bought towards the end of 2023, Your Worship. Probably October or November, thereabouts.
I'm asking this, Mr. Mulunga, because the state's case is that the money which was paid to Enercon, that is 53 million, 35 million paid back to NAMCO, but there was a remainder of 18 million. And the state cases that part of that 18 million was used to buy this motor vehicle. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember that too, Your Worship. In fact, Your Worship, I have a bill confirmation here, I think, between the bank and Mr. Simanika, who bought this car, and looks like this car was financed by the bank. The date is the 23rd of August 2023. He paid a deposit of an amount of 957,000.
If you can slow down,
because
the court is taking
it. Yeah. I mean, he paid the deposit amount of 957,974.55 over a contract period of 72 months. So it looks like it is a higher purchase. The vehicle that he bought, or in fact, the deal was confirmed already on the 23rd of August 2023, which is more than a year later after the asset purchase agreement had been signed.
And that time you were no longer at NAMCO, you were on suspension.
Yes, I was on suspension, and in fact, I was actually given a letter by NAMCO on the 8th of August already, that my contract would be terminated.
8th of August, which year?
2023. No, that was 2024.
Yes.
Yeah.
But where were you in August 2023?
I was on suspension.
Okay.
I was not at NAMCO.
Yeah, Your Worship, I gave the document, the witness is reading from. I gave the same document to the state. So if there is no objection, would you want to hand up that document? Please go to Your Worship.
Well, Your Worship, there is an objection based on the following. Firstly, Your Worship, will recall that there's a document that relates to the same motor vehicle that we wanted to rely on, but it was disputed, or counsel for the accused. In fact, all the legal representatives say it was not legible, despite that the fact that it's just one page of it that is not legible. And secondly, it's improper for counsel then to seek to introduce a document to the witness in re-examination. This document could have been introduced to this witness during his evidence in chief. Because in fact, one of the things that counsel have taken issue with us is the disclosure of documents during the proceedings. This document was just disclosed to us this morning, and it's being introduced in evidence in chief, so in re-examination. So the short of our objection is that it's improper to introduce this document in re-examination, and secondly, counsel had the opportunity to deal with this document when the witness was here in evidence in chief. That will be in short of our objection.
Any response?
Yeah, Your Worship, in brief, I don't think it's appropriate for the state to say that we cannot hand up a document because their document was refused. That can't be, because their document was simply refused because it was not legible. This document is legible. It's clear. Number two, His Worship has made the ruling in respect of these handing up documents. There is it not necessary to follow any procedure, because this is a sui generis application, their application. And then number three, and more importantly, this document is an answer to the questions or evidence solicited by counsel for the state during cross-examination. And it's in all fairness that the court have sight of this document to confirm what the witness spoke, because he spoke to the document. Please, Your Worship, that is my answer.
Now, it is apparent that such a similar document was already before court, and attempts were made for the same, and it was not received.
No, it's not the same document. It's a completely different document.
Yes, the court is proceeding, Counselor.
Yes, Your Worship.
Yes. Even if it's a completely different document, this is a bail application, and it's not the trial. That issue can be dealt with in another forum. Therefore, the objection is sustained.
That's in order, Your Worship. Now, Mr. Mulunga, the state is accusing you of conspiracy and some kind of common purpose with you subordinate, you ex-subordinate. That is accused number 3, accused number 2, and accused number 4. Now, at the time you left NAMCO, was there any complaint lodged by either of the mentioned accused person to NAMCO board to the effect that you intimated them, you intimidated them, you commanded them, or you coerced them to do unlawful activities?
No, there was no such thing, Your Worship. In fact, I mean, the management style of mine is not a top-down management style, but a bottom-up management style. So I am not the one that introduces transactions and business deals and force them or coordinates to go and get up. In fact, it's the other way around. Business deals come to the get screened by the police departments through the legal department before they come to me for signature. That is how it was working.
It was also
proceed.
Because you continue to give fuel to the con, knowing that the order, knowing that they've exceeded their limit, the limit it was put to you, 15 million, and you should be in custody, should be arrested. What is your answer to that?
I mean, that is an unfortunate situation that I should be arrested first and foremost for people that have not paid their debts. As I said, by the time I was there, them called the situation as that became. During my time, obviously, took the necessary measures to make sure that corrective action was taken in terms of debts and debts. I think, however, when I left now, I think that Enercon also left. Enercon at that time, I think they left on the 29th of February, I left on the 4th of April. The new people that sort of were in charge of the cities, obviously, maybe the relationship worked so well between them, and there were cancellations and cancellations. That, I think there was maybe stopping of supply. In good faith, obviously taking certain assumptions, and then, unfortunately, things didn't
work out after he left. And I cannot be blamed on me as the managing director.
Yeah, well, that's it. Okay. Of course, during your evidence in chief, you went through meticulously the credit limit policy. You remember? The roles and responsibilities and so on.
Yes.
In terms of that policy, is there any provision for criminal prosecution for anyone who violates or who does not comply with that policy?
No, there isn't. And again, as I said, if there was something like that in that policy or any other policy that suggests that criminal proceedings would, then I would have probably not taken that job. And I don't think anybody would want to take a job that actually make them sort of liable for criminal prosecution for, you know, not following a policy or oversight of a policy.
Yes. Still on the giving, if you will, in excess of the credit limit. The PwC investigation report, Your Worship, I don't need to go there, but there is a paragraph to that. I think we saw that one.
You can proceed.
Yes, Your Worship. Now, Mr. Mulunga, that report recommended that this internal disciplinary action be taken against members of the credit committee. You remember?
I remember.
Now, to your knowledge, when you were still there, or after you had left, was there any disciplinary action taken by either the NAMCOR board against members of that committee, that the credit committee?
No, I don't believe so. I don't believe that there was actually disciplinary action taken against the entire credit committee. There could have been disciplinary measures against one or two individuals.
Was in excess of the 15 million. Do you agree?
No, I don't agree to that.
Okay. If you don't agree, why then did they pay 35 million if their credit limit was 15 million?
No, because the agreement says 35 million if there was any debt, and I cannot remember now exactly how much there was, that I cannot remember that.
Okay, let me ask you this, Mr. Mulunga. We have now established that Enercon took over the debts of Ecofuel. Yes. We are in agreement.
Yes.
And then 35 million plus 73 is 108 million.
Yes.
And then I'm taking you to the credit limit to say, well, the credit limit was 15 million, but yet Enercon had a debt of 108 million. Do you see that?
Your Worship, I mean, those details, I mean, I was not the one that works with those details. I mean, I'm sure one of the accused will be able to explain that. So I cannot, to be honest, tell you exactly the details of that, because, yeah, my duty was really at the level of managing director, and, you know, the other colleagues, subordinates, were the ones that dealt with this on a day-to-day basis. So I will not be able to give an authoritative answer to say it was exactly this or that, other than to say that, yes, there was a 35 million that was paid back for the debt that Enercon owed. And I also know that, yes, Enercon took over the debt of Ecofuels. I think as was agreed by the board.
And in fact, I'll put it to you that despite the credit limit of 15 million, NAMCO continued to supply fuel to Enercon above the credit limit, despite that they owed money, but fuel was still being supplied.
Yeah, again, Your Worship, I mean, those are the things that didn't happen at my level. As managing director at that time, I had people that worked and, you know,
and made those decisions. Obviously, after I have signed off a credit limit.
Yes. And in fact, as we stand here, from the 108 million that was owed, only the 35 million was paid. Are you able to dispute that?
Well, the 73 million, Your Worship, as you correctly pointed out, was a debt that was ceded.
Yes.
By another. So it's not that Enercon really owed it. It was just ceded as because it was owed by another company. So I think that time, if that was not ceded, the 35 million would have probably been enough to bring Enercon's debt within the credit limit. That's my understanding.
But Mr. Mulunga is an experienced corporate leader. Wouldn't you find it prudent to inquire from Enercon that, look, you took over the debts, pay at least from part of the debts that you took over?
Oh, yes, we've definitely done that. Over several months, and we've, you know, brought these issues to the board. We've had very stringent demand letters that we've sent, not only to Enercon, but to all the companies that owed numbers. So I remember very well having done that at Exco level. So we've gone out of our way to, you know, request all these companies at Old Namco to pay up their debts.
Okay, but what do you know if the debt was eventually settled?
I don't believe the entire debt was settled. I mean, that's why I think we are here also.
All right. So, there was also reference that was made to the findings by PwC, and by that I would like to refer you to page 248 of Mr. Bangamwabo's bundle.
248.
Yes. 248. And of interest is B, PwC investigation. Are you there?
I'm there, Yosh.
Yes, and of interest, I'll read to you that at 6 it says, PwC investigated the following matters. A, unusual data accounts with significant outstanding balances, accounts that exceeded credit limits, and accounts with unusual payment arrangements. Do you see that?
I see that, Josh.
So, in fact, the PwC also, when they investigated, they found out that the payment arrangements that existed between NAMCO and the debtors were actually not in a good way, if I can put it that. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, in their opinion, it says it's unusual payment arrangements. That's the opinion of PwC. However, these are the arrangements that were undertaken between NAMCOR and trading and distribution at Enercon at that stage.
And in fact, they also say that some accounts had exceeded credit limits. You see it there?
Yeah, that's correct.
And yet, NAMCO, led by you as the managing director, still kept supplying fuel to Enercon, which had exceeded its credit limits.
No, that's not correct. In fact, the credit was suspended at some point because the accounts were indeed over the credit limits.
And you see, on that aspect, the investigating officer will come and testify that, well, despite the credit limit having been exceeded, fuel was just being received for free, if I can put it that way, because it was never paid for, and up until now, it has never been paid for.
Your Worship, I think it's incorrect to say that the fuel was provided for free. The fuel was provided with expectations that it will be paid. No right-minded person would provide fuel to a company for free. So when Enercon, everybody else that owed NAMCON, obviously was expected to pay back.
And I'd like to put it to you that, you see, you are the mastermind or the originator of this whole enterprise that you ensnared everyone into it. Have you taken due diligence as the managing director of NAMCO, all this would not have happened.
That is incorrect, Your Worship. We entered into business relations with Enercon and any other client in good faith, with understanding that we are going to provide fuel, and then we are going to get paid within the limits of time that are provided by those agreements. That is what we did. So if a client doesn't pay on time or decided not to pay, or they have difficulties in paying for whatever reason, that cannot be my mistake as managing director. I mean, that would be completely unfair to actually blame a non-payment of NAMCON debt on me specifically as managing director, because when you enter into an agreement, sales and purchasing, I mean, fuel supply agreement with somebody, and you have, you know, credit that you supply to somebody, you expect them to pay you. And if they don't pay you, I mean, surely you can't criminally charge somebody that at that level, managing director, for people that have not paid their account.
All right, so were you aware, firstly, that Enercon was not paying? Let me start there.
I was aware, yes, that Enercon was one of those debtors that were behind. So I was aware of it. And we had discussed this over several times at EXCO meetings. It was discussed at credit committee level. It was discussed at finance and audit committee. It was discussed at board level. So we all knew, yes, we had these challenges.
All right. So if you are aware, what steps did you take to ensure that that does not continue happening?
Yes. Your Worship, we have written demand letters on several occasions. I think we've even attempted to call some of the directors or managers of these companies to, you know, urge them to pay. We have at some point actually stopped supplying them because of non-payments. As I said, we went on very stringent, obviously on the advice of the board, on serious debt recovery programs within the company. And we've tried our best to make sure that these companies pay up what they owe to NAMCO.
In fact, Mr. Mulunga, I'll put it to you that the commercial offer that you made on 8 July was just a tool that was used by you to get money out of NAMCO, which was eventually shared between you and your co-accused persons and Mr. Simanaeka Malima.
That is
the court, Your Worship. I have an objection. Your Worship,
can you just slow it down? Yes.
Your Worship, my colleague for the state, in his question, the way he phrased it, he says that the money which was paid to Enercon by NAMCO, of course, at the instigation of the applicant, accused number one. He says that money was then paid back to the accused persons, including
the word shared.
Shared.
Yes.
I appreciate Your Worship. As we stand here, Your Worship, there is no evidence, not a single evidence
no grain of evidence that applicant in the witness box that he received any cent in his bank account. So the statement by my colleague, of course, with due respect, is incorrect. I think he has to use it selectively and keeping in mind that as we stand here, no evidence was adduced by the state. No document was referred to that he received the cent from anyone. Please go to your worship.
Any response?
No response, your worship. I'll leave the question as is. If he has a reply, he can state so. We move forward.
Yeah, my response is that's totally not.
Any objection has been raised. The court must respond on the objection and make a ruling.
We did not hear, this court did not hear that there was any money paid to the applicant himself. Yes. Therefore, the objection is sustained.
Yes, the court, please.
Let me again rephrase
the court question. Yes, the court, please.
I'll leave the question for
argument. We can then move on.
Yes. Now, Mr. Mulungu, I would like to put it to you that you, sir, you did not run the National Petroleum Corporation properly with due diligence. That's why events like this of credit limits being exceeded, entering into asset purchase agreement without board approval, happen under your nose. In other words, you did not exercise due diligence. You ran the entity as you wished.
No, that is not correct, Your Worship. I denied it.
And in fact, even after you had been put on suspension, that's why NAMCO, through Mr. Shiwanande Onyema, actually cancelled that agreement because it was a bogus agreement that you had entered into with Enercon.
That's not correct.
I have another objection, Your Worship. Maybe the state, not really an objection, to be fair to the witness, Your Worship, because during the evidence in chief, the witness, through documentary evidence, demonstrated that when he was suspended, I think towards April 2023. And the cancellation took place towards the end of 2023 by the acting managing director. So the reason why such cancellation took place, he placed on the record that he doesn't know what transpired. Unless my colleague tells you, put a version to the applicant, to the witness, that Mr. Shiwana will come and tell the court the reason for the cancellation. Please go to worship.
Confusing, Your Worship. Just to add on that point, and I think it would, under the circumstances, be fair, because there's a letter of cancellation from Mr. Donyema. If my colleague can go to that letter and perhaps see whether in that letter the basis of the cancellation is identified as the agreement is a bogus agreement. Your Worship. Scott, please.
Any response?
We'll leave it for argument, Your Worship.
We can then move
yes.
on.
Yes. So, please, Mr. Mulungu, I would like to put it to you that the commercial offer that you made to Enercon was just an enabling instrument, if I can call it that.
Your chef, the question was asked and answered. It's simply now just being rephrased to say enabling whatever, but initially it was posted as the tool that was used to get the money from Namco, Your Worship.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah. Maybe, Your Worship, just before I answer, I think just for the court decorum, I've seen this practice of Mr. Kasper rising when his client is not the one that is being asked. Firstly, Mr. Mulunga has Mr. Bangamabo as his lawyer. The client acts on the mandate and instructions, or the lawyer acts on the mandate and instructions of the client. And Mr. Bangamabo is here. It's different, Your Worship, when an accused is unrepresented, when the court can then assist an accused. I would submit, Your Worship, that a legal representative cannot just rise for the sake of disrupting proceedings. What Mr. Kasper is implying is that Mr. Bangamabo is not doing a due diligent job to his client. Your Worship, I would also say it will almost turn into a circus where any other lawyer is allowed to object on behalf of a client on which he doesn't have instruction. So I think with regard to the court decorum, that decorum must be followed. A court is not a circus where a lawyer just stands up, objects with regard to questions that were not put to his client. Perhaps Mr. Kasper can say maybe he has instructions from Mr. Mulunga, and that is what I'll submit with regard to that aspect. And with regard to my question, I was not even done asking, and then he objects. So what was he objecting to? I had not completed my question. That will be my reply, Your Worship.
Your Worship, with the greatest respect to my learned friend, this is below the belt. These are outlandish submissions my learned friend is making. Your Worship, first and foremost, I sat here as an officer of this court, and I have on previous occasions informed this court that I am duty bound to not sit idly and allow an injustice to occur. Your Worship, you would recall just a little while ago, an objection was raised. The witness almost went ahead and answered the question, Your Worship. And when I rose and I told the court that, Your Worship, an objection has been raised, the court must rule on it. This court ruled, and it was ruled in favor of the objection raised, Your Worship. And that my learned friend must suggest that I'm imputing that Mr. Bangwambo is incompetent, because that's what he's saying, Your Worship. Then, Your Worship, that is where we are throwing the decorum of this court out of the door. And this is what an undertaking we made to this court, that we are not going to allow such behavior, Your Worship. I am no clown. I am not in a circus, Your Worship. And I'm executing on my mandate. As you would recall, Your Worship, the state's theme, by the way, if my learned friend forgot, is that Mr. Mulunga used that tool to siphon money out of Namco, and that money was then shared amongst the accused persons, the co-employees at Namco. So I have every right, Your Worship, objecting and representing my client's interest in doing so, Your Worship. So God, please.
Yes, Mr. Kasper, you have the right to object. But if there is a witness, the court allows you, once you put it on record as an officer of court, I cannot allow the issue to be discussed without an objection, because I'm an officer of court.
So I'm not sure I'm following
you. I'm saying that the court has allowed you.
Yes.
Because often when you start, you are indicating, as an officer of court, I cannot sit here and watch the injustice.
And
it's on that basis that the court is allowing.
Indeed, and when I rose again, Your Worship.
Before I proceed. Yes. So it's on that basis that the court is allowing you to proceed.
I see.
But if the counsel for the applicant is here, and he can object on that aspect.
Absolutely, Your Worship. And when I rose, Your Worship, I did so as an officer of this court. Because what are we doing? Look when we started, Your Worship, and look where we are. If repetitive questions that have no relevance to moving forward is being asked, Your Worship, in the interest of curtailing these proceedings, I have to object, Your Worship.
Yes, I understand that one. However, as the court pleases, Your Worship. It appears that counsel for the respondent was not even finished with
then,
his
that's,
question.
Then that's fair, Your Worship. I accept that, Your Worship. As the court pleases.
It's in order. Counsel, can you then finish your question?
So, my question was, so the asset purchase agreement was just...
That the commercial offer was just an enabling instrument.
Maybe was just an enabling instrument for NAMCO to pay money to Enercon.
I flatly deny that, Your Worship. I have demonstrated, I think, during earlier testimony that commercial offer was birthed from a fuel supply agreement between Enercon and NAMCO Trading and Distribution. So it cannot be viewed in isolation. If it was just an agreement or an offer that we plucked from the air and signed, maybe one could make that argument. But it was part and parcel of an agreement that we were supposed to execute further actions, because that fuel supply agreement between Enercon and NAMCO Trading and Distribution was incomplete without an asset purchase agreement, because you can't enter into an exclusive supply agreement with a customer without an investment into the assets. I think that is what I explained a few days earlier. So that is not correct.
Mm. So, Your Worship, of course, I hate to allow the witness to answer the question, but it seems that during the evidence in the chief, maybe my colleague was absent-minded, because, Your Worship, you recall, the witness took the court into the whole process, the asset evaluation process, by the an expert committee of NAMCO, by an independent person, engineers from outside, recommendation by various experts.
Counsel, I understand, but the question has already been answered.
No, what I'm trying to read to Your Worship is we are repeating things which already has been answered. So if we can move forward to avoid being repetitive, Your Worship, that in essence was the essence of my objection. Please support, Your Worship.
We can. Was it an objection, or you indicated from the onset it's not an objection?
Not an objection, just to make sure that we don't repeat things which are clear on the record.
Then we can
suggest, having made an undertaking to you, I think I should also just caution my learned friend with the statement he made about the colleague for the state being absent-minded. I think that is slightly harsh, Your Worship.
Counsel,
it's withdrawn.
Can we maintain our decorum? It's in order. Yes, Mr. Kaske, the court is in debt.
Yes, the court is.
Now, Mr. Mlonga, just to conclude, I would like to put it to you that had it not been for you as the mastermind or the architect of this whole scheme, these charges would not have been there in the first place. No one would have been charged here had it not been for you. In other words, you are the mastermind, you are the architect of this whole scheme.
Your Worship, I do not understand why I can be labeled as the architect or mastermind of this whole scheme. As I am not the one that, as managing director of NAMCO Trading and Distribution, give orders downwards to say, this is what you guys must do. As a managing director, I'm not the one that initiate business transactions. Business transactions are initiated at departmental level. And I think it was proven through internal memorandums that were written to me. Even the fuel supply agreements, these things are done by the commercial departments. And then they go through various levels at NAMCOR and then come to me. So for me to be accused as the mastermind is totally, totally unfair, Your Worship.
And I also like to put it to you that in the execution of your duties as the managing director of NAMCO, you dismally failed to exercise due diligence to run NAMCO as a reputable institution. In fact, you ran it down the drain, sir.
That is not correct. Again, as I said earlier, when I came to NAMCOR in 2015, the revenue of NAMCOR was around 600 million. By the time that I left NAMCOR, the revenue of NAMCOR was 7.4 billion. So you cannot be somebody that sort of have a tenfold increase in a company's revenues and actually be regarded as somebody that drove the company down. There are various reasons why some of these things happen, especially the debts of NAMCO. By the time that I was there, the debts were being managed. All these companies were trading with NAMCO. Some of these companies were paying 30 million Namibian dollars per week to NAMCO. However, since I left, things deteriorated. People stopped being supplied. People stopped paying. So
at my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
We granted bail because public funds had been squandered in the manner it was squandered, and therefore you should be kept in custody, sir.
Your Worship, those public funds were not squandered by me. I did not receive any cents from those public funds that you are mentioning, and I don't even know what are the public funds that you're referring to. I did not receive any cent. And if there are people that should be held liable or guilty for these funds, these are people that have not paid their accounts to NAMCO, not me. And I'm not the one that told them not to pay their accounts. So I totally disagree with that assertion.
I have no further questions, Your Worship.
Mr. Banga Mwambo.
Please report to Your Worship.
Mr. Mulunga, in the examination, let's start with the last aspect by State Council. He says it's in the interest of the public or in the public interest that you be kept in custody because the public funds have been squandered. Now,
Your Worship, it's not an objection, but just to complete the question, I say it in the administration of justice as well.
Please, put your Worship.
Counselor, are you finished? Or you can proceed.
Now, is it correct that the public funds, I'm not sure if they're public funds, the funds being referred to are the outstanding debts which are owed to NAMCO by various debtors, including Enercon, Ecofuel, or Erongo Petroleum? Correct.
Well, I'm not quite sure what he was referring to, Your Worship, but I assume that's probably what he is referring to. It's probably what is owed to NAMCO.
What is owed to NAMCO by the people who took fuel, by the companies which took fuel.
That's correct, Your Worship. So, I personally, Emmanuel Mulunga, standing here, did not squander any public funds or took any public funds from anybody.
Mr. Mulunga, we have seen various fuel supply agreements which you signed between NAMCO, Enercon, Erongo Petroleum. And we have referred to you or to the court what will happen, what happens when either of the parties to that contract fails or refuses to comply with the contractual obligation. You remember?
I remember, yes, sir.
So let's go to one of those fuel supply agreements. Let's go to page, Your Worship, 185. That is the fuel supply agreement between NAMCO Trading and the Enercon. Your Worship, from 185 to 210 of the bundle by the applicant. Are you there, Mr. Mulunga?
I'm there, Your Worship.
That is the agreement we received dated 16 March 2022. Now, of course, you are being accused of giving free fuel or supplying fuel for free to some of the entities cited here. There is no evidence to that effect. But I want you to go to page, Your Worship, 200 of that document.
I'm there, Your Worship.
I want you to look at page 14. No, paragraph 14.
Yes.
Yes. Can you read it into the record?
Breach and remedies. An event of default shall mean any of the following.
Yes.
The failure of the buyer to make any payment under this agreement.
Yes.
The failure of the either party to perform its obligations in relation to delivery or collection of the products.
Okay.
The failure of either party to comply with its other obligations under this agreement.
Yes.
Any representation or warranty made by either party under this agreement, if proved to be untrue when made in any material respect.
Very good. Let's stay with the 14.1.1.
Concern is re-examination. Where are you getting it?
Where am I getting it?
I'm saying, where are you going? It's re-examination. Why do you want to clarify that?
I want to clarify, Your Worship, because according to the state, is that Mr. Mulunga is the ex-managing director of NAMCO, must be kept in custody because of the debt of the contracting parties to the contract. I want to show to the court that the contract concluded between NAMCO and Enercon provides otherwise. Please go to your worship. Now, Mr. Mulunga, go to page with regard to the remedies. Let's go, your worship, page paragraph 14.3. Can you read that into the record?
Yes, your worship. Should the buyer fail to make payment when due, any and all payments due from the buyer to the seller shall become immediately due and payable, and the seller shall.
Yes. 14.3.1.
Shall entitle to institute.
I have to object to that line of question, because
if your worship has a recollection in that, this part was already dealt with by Mr. Bangamavo in examination in chief. So, I don't know what is unclear. I think that's a point he can argue, because this document is here. It was dealt with extensively by Mr. Bangamavo when he was examining, in examination chief of the client. So, if he has any point to carry forth from this document, it's something that he can argue, because I think the document is there. The court is aware of the document. Mr. Court, please.
Any response?
For the sake of progress, I will rephrase my question. Mr. Mulunga, if you look at this contract, especially the remedies applicable, is there any provision which speaks to the fact that if any of the fuel supplier or the person who received the fuel fails to pay, that the managing director of NAMCO must be arrested and kept in custody?
No, no, there's no such provision, Your Worship.
And then there is also an allegation that you failed to exercise corporate due diligence, which led to the whole scheme, the reason why we are here. My question is there any law in this country which provides for criminal prosecution, for arrest and criminal prosecution, for violating or breaching corporate governance?
No, no. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm not aware of such law. In fact, in the relationships between employee and employer, there are remedies for non-compliance of contracts, and that is disciplinary action.
And when you testified 2 days ago during evidence in chief, you confirmed to the court that all policies of NAMCO, including the credit limit policy and the schedule of authority policy, they form part and parcel of an employment contract.
That's correct, Your Worship.
You also confirm that if those policies are not complied with, then the disciplinary action must be taken by the employer, that is NAMCO.
Yeah, that is what the contract says that I signed with NAMCO, National Petroleum Corporation of Namibia.
Now, as far as you remember, NAMCO, as your former employer, or through the board of directors, have they brought you before any disciplinary committee to face the allegation which are before this court, especially in respect of asset purchase agreement of July 2022?
Well, they attempted to do so. In fact, they tried to join charges relating to this asset purchase agreement to an ongoing disciplinary matter I was facing. But obviously that was not accepted by the chairperson of the disciplinary committee at that stage. And when that was not accepted, NAMCOR went ahead and fired me unlawfully without actually going through a formal disciplinary process on these charges.
So you are telling the court that actually NAMCOR fired you without allowing you to explain the allegation against you in respect of asset purchase agreement.
That's correct, Your
Worship. Again, I have to object because that is already suggestive of an answer. And these aspects were already dealt with in evidence in chief. So if he puts a position or a preposition to a witness and just says yes, what is that? He's just leading him instead of seeking clarity. He's just telling him the answer.
Counsel, it's re-examination. Can we proceed?
Can we proceed, Your Worship? I want to be short. I wanted to finish before one, but if my colleague keeps on standing up, of course it is right. He can keep on doing that. I can't stop him from exercising his right and representing his client.
Yes, he is within his right. So
please, Your Worship. Mr. Mulunga, you heard the state saying that the asset purchase agreement was an enabler.
Yes.
For the money which was paid to Enercon, which money then was shared among yourself as the applicant and the other co-accused. What is your answer to that?
No, that is not correct. I did not share in any money with any other accused. And again, the asset purchase agreement was not a document that was signed in isolation. It was signed because there was already an agreement that actually suggested that the next step was supposed to enter into an asset purchase agreement.
Did you receive any money, any gratification or reward from Peter Elindi, from Elindi Malakia, from, that is, on behalf of Enercon?
I did not, Your Worship.
On the issue of the motor vehicle, can you confirm to the court? You said you drove that car, that motor vehicle, the Audi Q8. Who is the owner of that car?
The owner of that car is Mr. Simaneka Victor Malima.
Victor Malima.
Yes.
Now, this Mr. Victor Malima, at the time the asset purchase agreement was being negotiated, and later on concluded. Do you remember? Do you still remember when it was signed?
Yes, I remember.
If I, to assist the, I think it's common cause, it was, the last date was 18 July 2022.
That's correct, Your Worship.
Was Victor Malima part of the Enercon team which negotiated with you?
No, he was not, Your Worship.
To your recollection, was Victor Malima a shareholder or a director of Enercon at that time, July 2022?
No, not to my recollection. In fact, he was not a director of Enercon that I had dealt with. Oh.
Still on the motor vehicle. Just to assist the court, and of course the state, do you remember or would you recall when that motor vehicle was bought? I know you didn't buy it, but just if you remember, if you don't remember it.
Yeah, I believe that motor vehicle was bought towards the end of 2023, Your Worship. Probably October or November, thereabouts.
I'm asking this, Mr. Mulunga, because The state's case is that the money which was paid to Endacon, that is 53 million, 35 million paid back to NAMCO, but there was a remainder of 18 million. And the state cases that part of that 18 million was used to buy this motor vehicle. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember that too, Your Worship. In fact, Your Worship, I have a bill confirmation here, I think, between the bank and Mr. Simanika, who bought this car, and it looks like this car was financed by the bank. The date is the 23rd of August 2023. He paid a deposit for an amount of 957,900.
If you can slow down, because the court is taking
I mean, he paid the deposit amount of 957,974.55 over a contract period of 72 months. So it looks like it is a higher purchase. The vehicle that he bought, or in fact, the deal was confirmed already on the 23rd of August 2023, which is more than a year later after the asset purchase agreement had been signed.
And that time you were no longer at NAMCO, you were on suspension.
Yes, I was on suspension, and in fact, I was actually given a letter by NAMCO on the 8th of August already that my contract would be terminated.
8th of August, which year?
2023. No, that was 2024.
Yes.
Yeah.
But where were you in August 2023?
I was on suspension.
Okay.
I was not at NAMCO.
Yeah, Your Worship, I gave the document the witness is reading from, I gave the same document to the state. So if there is no objection, we'll want to hand up that document. Please go to Your Worship.
Well, Your Worship, there is an objection based on the following. Firstly, Your Worship, will recall that there's a document that relates to the same motor vehicle that we wanted to rely on, but it was disputed, or counsel for the accused. In fact, all the legal representatives say it was not legible, despite that the fact that it's just one page of it that is not legible. And secondly, it's improper for counsel then to seek to introduce a document to the witness in re-examination. This document could have been introduced to this witness during his evidence in chief. Because in fact, one of the things that counsel have taken issue with us is the disclosure of documents during the proceedings. This document was just disclosed to us this morning, and it's being introduced in evidence in chief, so in re-examination. So the short of our objection is that it's improper to introduce this document in re-examination, and secondly, counsel had the opportunity to deal with this document when the witness was here in evidence in chief. That will be in short of our objection.
Any response?
Yeah, Your Worship, in brief, I don't think it's appropriate for the state to say that we cannot hand up a document because their document was refused. That can't be, because their document was simply refused because it was not legible. This document is legible. It's clear. Number two, His Worship has made the ruling in respect of these handing up documents. It's not necessary to follow any procedure, because this is a sui generis application, their application. And then number three, and more importantly, these documents is an answer to the questions or evidence solicited by counsel for the state during cross-examination. And it's in all fairness that the court have sight of this document to confirm what the witness spoke, because he spoke to the document. That is my answer.
Now, it is apparent that such a similar document was already before court, and attempts were made for the same, and it was not received.
No, it's not the same document. It's a completely different document.
Yes, the court is proceeding, Councillor.
Yes, yes, Your Worship.
Yes. Even if it's a completely different document, this is a bail application, and it's not the trial. That issue can be dealt with in another forum. Therefore, the objection is sustained.
That's in order, Your Worship. Now, Mr. Mulunga, they say the state is accusing you of conspiracy and some kind of common purpose with you subordinate, you ex-subordinates. That is accuse number 3, accuse number 2, and accuse number 4. Now, at the time you left NAMCO, was there any complaint lodged by either of the mentioned accused person to NAMCO board to the effect that you intimated them, you intimidated them, you commanded them, or you coerced them to do unlawful activities?
No, there was no such thing, Your Worship. In fact, I mean, the management style of mine is not a top-down management style, but a bottom-up management style. So I am not the one that introduces transactions and business deals and force them or coordinates to go and pick up. In fact, it's the other way around. Business deals come get screened by the police departments through the legal department before they came to me for signature. That is how it was working.
It was also
proceed.
Because you continue to give fuel to Yakon, knowing that they've exceeded their limit, the limit it was put to you, 15 million, and you should be in custody, should be arrested. What is your answer to that?
I mean, that is an unfortunate situation that I should be arrested first and foremost for people that have not paid their debts. As I said, at the time that I was there, I'm called the situation as that became. During my time, obviously, the necessary measures to make sure that corrective action was taken in terms of debts and debts. I think, however, when I left now, I think that NECON also left. NECON at that time, I think they left on the 29th of February, I left on the 4th of April. The new people that sort of were in charge of the entities, obviously, made the relationship so well between them, and there were cancellations and that, you know, I think there was maybe stopping of supply.
In good faith,
You know, obviously taking certain assumptions, you know, and then unfortunately things didn't work out after we left, and they cannot be blamed on me as the managing director.
Yeah, well, that stage. Okay. Of course, during your evidence in the chief, you went through meticulously the credit limit policy. You remember? The roles and responsibilities and so on.
Yes.
In terms of that policy, is there any provision for criminal prosecution for anyone who violates or who does not comply with that policy?
No, there isn't. And again, as I said, if there was something like that in the policy or any other policy that suggests that criminal proceedings would, then I would have probably not taken that job. And I don't think anybody would want to take a job that actually make them sort of liable for criminal prosecution for, you know, not following a policy or oversight of a policy.
Yes. Still on the giving, if you will, in excess of the credit limit. The PwC investigation report, Your Worship, I don't need to go there, but there is a paragraph to that. I think we saw that one.
You can proceed.
Yes, Your Worship. Now, Mr. Mulunga, that report recommended that this internal disciplinary action be taken against members of the credit committee. You remember?
I remember.
Now, to your knowledge, when you were still there, or after you had left, was there any disciplinary action taken by either the NAMCO board against members of that committee, that the credit committee?
No, I don't believe so. I don't believe that there was actually disciplinary action taken against the entire credit committee. There could have been disciplinary measures against one or two individuals.
Keep your opinion to yourself. For those of us with stages and microphones to share our opinions, albeit comedy-wise, we'll be sharing our opinions with you. Like I pointed out earlier, Lunga's risk-taking ability is not something new, because we all know that's not the first time he's ending up in hot soup for making decisions without the proper approval. In his examination, re-examination, he ended up pointing out that, that one is also, that was just my fault. Again, what was that regarding making approvals without due process? That's a very Mulunga thing to do at this point. We all know that part. But the question is, does it amount to criminal prosecution? We wait for the court to make that decision, whether it's a yes or no. I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to the answer to that question, which I have a sneaky suspicion is leaning in the direction of no. Ladies and gentlemen, as for me, like they pointed out, that they will resume the hearing at 2, as you can imagine. From the look of things, it's a new accused that is... a different accused that is going to, you know, that's going to take the stand, with, you know, which then it starts all, you know, all over again, direct examination. At least I'm assuming it's a new accused. That's, right. Yeah. Direct examination direct examination to state takes over cross examination. And then you have re-examination and then next. You know, like that. So, for me, until afternoon with home run, and actually I'm running behind on that one, but I'm still good. For me, especially as it relates to this, until Monday, same time, same place, you all have a blessed one. Oh, sorry.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye.